Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans. If you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 142 and 144 of the New Testament. Hear now the words of Paul. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith. As it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he has passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous, and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? Is it excluded? By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one, and he will justify the circumcised on the ground of faith, and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then overthrow the law by his faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 29. In your pew Bible, at the very beginning of the New Testament on page 7. So hear these words as spoken by our Lord. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Now when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as their scribes. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, I wonder if many of you are not like me. This passage from Matthew has those wonderful images of the wise man building the house on the rock and the foolish man building the house on the sand. And this week, as I got to thinking about this metaphor, another metaphor came to my mind, and I thought I would share it with you in the hopes that together, perhaps these metaphors will make it more meaningful to you. As I think back on my upbringing, pretty much from the time I could walk, I have always really enjoyed walking on the ocean beach. There's something magical to me about moving water, about the sights and the sounds and the smells of the ocean beach. And over the course of my life, I've been blessed to have been able to walk on beaches in Canada, in Hawaii, on California, in Maine, in Massachusetts, in Florida, in Mexico. How many of you have had this delightful experience of walking on an ocean beach? Okay, so almost all of us. Wonderful. Well, in good times and bad, walking on the beach for me has provided solace. It's provided meaning. Because it seems to me that an ocean beach is a place, a thin place, as they say in the Celtic tradition, a place where God seems to be closer. A place where it feels like God is listening more attentively to my prayers. A place where, perhaps more importantly, I am listening more attentively to God's message to me. When you go about walking on a beach, it seems like you have at least two options. Now, some people like to walk up on the soft sand, up toward the dunes of the beach, away above the high tide line. You know, the soft sand where they feel their toes squish through that warm sand. But for me, it seems like when I take one step forward, I slide back in the soft sand and I'm not making very good headway. It feels like a place of distraction. There's a lot to look at, but what I see as I look around me are old dead fish. I see old seaweed, the carcasses of horseshoe crabs, old driftwood, the flotsam and jetsam of the ocean. And if you're a beachcomber like I am, if you walk up above the high tide line, pretty much it's been picked over. All the good stuff is gone. And it seems that when I walk up on the soft sand, I'm distracted. It doesn't feel like I'm hearing God. It doesn't feel like I'm praying with the kind of focus that I would like. But another approach is to walk down in the intertidal region, the place where the waves come up and go back, closer to the action and the energy of the ocean. It seems like there, where the sand is harder, it's easy to walk purposefully and efficiently. And for some reason, for me, it's a place of excitement. It's a place where the fish have just come up. The shells are there. The sea glass. Lots of good finds. The beachcombing is ripe. It's a place where I can focus, where I can speak to God, a place where the birds and the sandpipers flitting up and down the beach, where I can walk and be closer to our Lord. Well, in that metaphor of walking on the beach, compared to the metaphor that Jesus uses, walking on the soft sand is like the man who builds his house on the sand. And walking down on the firm sand by the ocean waves is like the guy who builds his house on rock. I believe that the gospel is the foundation where we can build a life of strength, and that the hard sand, the foundation of the gospel, allows us to walk through life with Jesus in a purposeful manner. But you know, in either of these metaphors, that's not the point that Jesus was trying to make. It wasn't the foundation, but rather the building. Those who hear my words and act on them will be like the man who builds his house on the sand or the rock. The key is the action that comes after that foundation. The key is the journey that we will take with Jesus. And the point of that metaphor is not the destination. It's not where we're going, but rather the fact that we are going with Jesus. Because quite frankly, if you follow Jesus Christ, God will take care of the destination. You don't need to worry about it at all. And so when we consider the goodness that God has to offer us, we need to recognize that the gospel is the foundation upon which we can build our life. It is the path that we can take to walk with Jesus. Movement in the moment. That's the key. I'm reminded of a quote I've often paraphrased to you from Henry David Thoreau, who said something like the fact that he never trusted any thought that he had while sitting down.
The only time he trusted its beliefs was when he was outside walking. Because I believe there is not only a spiritual benefit from walking, but clearly also a physical benefit as well. It helps us to think more clearly. It helps us to consider more clearly that if we are to follow Jesus Christ, we need to take our faith into action. We need to have the behaviors to treat God and God's people as though we truly were followers of Jesus Christ. God wants us to have the solid foundation of the gospel. And then we are to build that life of faith, and we are to walk our talk together. Amen.